You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to episode number 3 of Locked On MLB, your daily podcast with news, analysis, opinions, and interviews across baseball to keep you informed on a daily basis. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network with local experts covering teams in every market across the NBA and NFL and a growing team here for Major League Baseball. We've got the Angels, we've got the Reds, Cubs, Pirates, Yankees, Orioles, and Twins. I expect to add a couple more here in the next week or so, and as opening day nears, we want to keep adding. So be on the lookout for more teams, hopefully your favorite teams, and we'll get them covered with quality hosts, some quality content. I am your host for this national show, Tommy Stokey. You can find my writing at LockedOnMLB.com and listen to me here. I'm a BBWAA member in Arizona, where I cover Major League Baseball as a whole and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Maybe you've read me at other places and seen me build other things, but come join me here at Locked On MLB as we try building a great thing here for you, the audience. Today, let's talk Los Angeles Dodgers. Justin Turner, broken wrist, Cody Bellinger, kind of an injury scare yesterday. What could derail them, and are they going to regret not signing a couple different options this offseason, especially in an offseason that kind of played out like it did? I then want to look at an offense in baseball that's, I think, kind of getting overlooked for the reputation that the team isn't usually very good, but I think this offense is going to be good and kind of caught some heat today for a ranking that was released. And then, like we did last time, we'll end the show with some notable injuries, performances, and spring training. Today wasn't a good day to be a pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. It was a good day to be a Chicago Cub, so we'll go through some of those. Let's start with the Dodgers. So Justin Turner goes down. He is arguably, maybe not arguably, the most important Dodger hitter. And you start to look at the team that won over 100 games last year, was going to be the best team ever, didn't finish it off in the World Series, but what could possibly derail them? What could stop them from being that good this year? Well, a couple different things, and let's start with Turner. He might, you know, the Dodgers aren't going to say how many games, weeks, months, whatever Turner's going to miss. The problem is, when he does come back, is he going to be the same when he was healthy? It takes a lot of these guys some time to come back from wrist injuries. You look at Freddie Freeman. Even when he did come back, he wasn't the same hitter, didn't have the same power as he did before. Maybe that doesn't affect Turner quite as much. I think he had 20-something home runs last year, 21 home runs last year, so not a huge power hitter, but the big thing you looked at with Turner, especially, and you noticed it in the playoffs, was the quality of at-bats. And I know that's kind of a buzz phrase that the Dodgers use, but he's the toughest out in the lineup, and that's a lineup that includes Corey Seager. It's a lineup that includes Cody Bellinger. So he's kind of the guy in the middle that he's a tough out, whether if he's even getting out. I mean, a 415 on base seems to get on base quite a bit. But even if he's making an out, he's a tough out, and that has lasting effects on the opponent's pitching staff. It gives your lineup, you know, more looks at what the opposing pitcher's doing. It's just what he does for that team. It's probably a little understated and maybe a little not quite as appreciated on a national level as Dodgers fans who watch the team every day would understand. So you look at the Dodgers' depth in the infield, and that's where I think we're going to have a problem with Turner if he comes back, isn't quite as good, if he misses time, and if any of these other guys miss time. I mean, Corey Seager has battled, I think it's a back injury that he's gone through and kind of tried to play through. But Chase Utley now is going to play a lot at second base. He's probably going to platoon with Kike Hernandez. Kike Hernandez was really good in the playoffs. He wasn't really good last year. And so, that's just, I don't know that that's the option that you want. A Kike Hernandez, Chase Utley platoon at second base with Logan Forsythe moving to third base. Logan Forsythe wasn't very good last year either. So, at least to the standard, I should say, at least to the expectations that he brought with him. So, without Turner, you've got Utley and probably Kike Hernandez at second base. Maybe Austin Barnes gets in there at times. You've got Forsyth at third. Here's where I wonder if, A, the Yankees were ahead of the curve, and B, if the Dodgers are going to regret not signing somebody like this or this specific player. But Neil Walker would sure be nice to have at $5 million a year to plug in for that replacement. Now, I'm on Spotrac right now. That's usually what I use for my contract stuff. And according to Spotrac, $183 million is the payroll. I think $197 million is the cap, so you add $5 million to that, $188 million. Doesn't leave you a lot of space at the trade deadline if you're starting to stay under the cap, but I don't know that the Dodgers should try to stay under the cap at where they're at, especially when we go and look a little bit deeper into what they're looking at this year. So Neil Walker at $5 million would have been nice to slide him in at second base every day. And even when Turner comes back, to be that extra infielder, to keep guys fresh, to be there when injuries happen, because we know injuries are going to happen. I know they brought Chase Utley back. I know he's big in the clubhouse, and I do think that matters. You're going to hear me talk about that an awful lot, about how much I value clubhouse presence. I just think in this case, you're going to need that performance if Turner is going to miss time. So the Yankees, who have more infield depth than maybe anybody, still went out and got Neil Walker because he was a bargain and he's a really good player. Despite having, you know, Tyler Wade and Gleyber Torres coming up, Miguel Andujar coming up. I mean, they went out and got Brandon Drury. So they got infielders all over the place, and they still went out and got Walker. So maybe that's something the Dodgers are going to regret. If they're going to go get somebody on the market, I mean, there's not much left. I guess Yunel Escobar, who his defense isn't very good anymore, but can still sort of hit. But it sounds like they're going to keep things internal. So we'll see what happens there. The other thing that stands out to me when I looked at the Dodgers is their pitching staff. And we've always said who is up after Kershaw when you get to the playoffs, who's going to be that guy after Clayton Kershaw. They lose Yu Darvish. And so now you have Alex Wood, you've got Ryu, you've got Maeda, you've got Rich Hill. None of those guys pitched more than 140 innings last year, and so that's a lot to count on, especially when you lose some of that depth. And you know, Scott Kazmir's gone, even though he was hurt all last year, and maybe he's only throwing 85. He's still a body. Brandon McCarthy, who was been really effective when healthy, he's gone. That is to both those guys to the Braves, so you lose those two pieces. Julio Urias is hurt. You don't know when he's coming back. Is Walker Buehler ready? If one of these guys goes down, because you're going to need more than five, and if these guys are either ineffective or unhealthy, that's another hit that they're going to take. So, you know, we'll have to see if the starting pitching is going to be good enough again, what kind of move they have to make at the deadline, if any. And we haven't even talked about Clayton Kershaw and his back issues that has kind of limited him some. You know, he's not throwing 200, 220 innings anymore, whether that's good or bad. So we'll have to see. The Dodgers just aren't quite as, they don't feel as deep as they've felt in recent years, and I feel like that has been a big strength of theirs. And so we'll have to see what kind of moves they make at the deadline. The NL West, I think, is going to be tough again with San Diego improving at the bottom, even though if they're your worst team in the division, they're still going to be probably better than a lot of other worst teams in divisions. The San Francisco Giants could be improved. I still am a believer of the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies are right there too. So, tough division. Everybody's only an injury away from struggling of some kind, so the Dodgers aren't any different there, but it just feels like their depth isn't quite where it's been. So before talking about this underrated offense that I want to get to, let's take care of some business. If your company might be interested in reaching sports fans, baseball fans, podcast fans, my parents, my family members, maybe my dog, if she's listening, contact me today to talk about advertising on Lockdown MLB. My email is Stokke, S-T-O-K-K-E, at lockdownmlb.com. Our rates are very reasonable, and I will probably buy your product. So as we continue to grow here, you can contact me for the other local markets that we have and see if we can get something done as we continue to grow and continue to expand. Okay. The Oakland Athletics. Nobody thinks that the Athletics are ever any good because of one reason or another. And so today, when MLB.com releases what they believe to be their top 10 lineups, Oakland comes in at number 10, and I feel like a lot of people looked at that and kind of raised their eyebrows and said, Oakland? Maybe they argued about my team should be here or not, Oakland or whatever, but Oakland is a pretty good offense if you look at it objectively and not look at it like, oh, they're the Oakland Athletics. If you look at post-All-Star game last year, they were 11th in runs scored in the league, so you're right there by top 10, obviously. But they were tied for first in home runs, and they're tied with the New York Yankees, and everybody thinks of the Yankees as the big boppers, and now with Stanton, obviously they will be, but 109 home runs after the All-Star break, 11th in runs scored, and now you add Stephen Piscotty and Jonathan Lucroy to that. That should only make them better. So when you look at the Athletics, I know it's tough. You want to look at their pitching staff, and there's question marks there that only got worse today with some news that came out. You want to look at the Moneyball stuff that they're all just kind of scrappers and just getting by, but not this lineup. I mean, Matt Olson, Matt Chapman, Chris Davis in the middle of the lineup. Matt Joyce is solid in a corner outfield spot. Who knows what we'll get from Dustin Fowler, but he's an intriguing option in the outfield. Maybe Franklin Breto contributes more this year. I mean, there's a lot of maybe guys that aren't household names there, but I mean, they're, you know, fantasy owners, I'm sure, are gonna look at some of these guys and maybe try to grab them as sleepers or guys that are under the radar because they do play for Oakland and nobody pays attention to us out here on the West Coast. But yeah, that's not a bad lineup, especially with the additions that they've made. So I want to see if I can pull it up real quick. Let's take a look at the rest of MLB.com's list for best lineups. I know number one, as I get it here, number one, the Houston Astros. I don't know that anyone's going to complain about that. They also scored 8 runs today off Gio Gonzalez and got everybody once again saying, wow, that's a really good lineup. Could be even better if Kyle Tucker appears this year, which he probably will. Although I think they were the team that should have added Lucroy, but it's hard to – you're only nitpicking at this point when you look at what Houston needs, at least offensively. So Houston came in at number one. The Yankees, number two, obviously adding Giancarlo Stanton to the mix. We talked already about the Brandon Drury and Neil Walker, so there's depth there. That doesn't even count Gleyber Torres, who is probably going to be up somewhat soon. Don't have to rush him quite as fast now with Drury and Neil Walker around, but he'll force his way up there. Number three, the Washington Nationals. Hard to complain about that. Adam Eaton comes back after missing most of last season with a torn ACL. Daniel Murphy won't be ready for opening day, doesn't sound like, but when he comes back, obviously that's a big bat in the middle of the lineup. We'll see if Ryan Zimmerman can keep up what he did last year. Trey Turner coming back healthy, so that's a pretty good lineup. Victor Robles, a guy to watch when he comes up. Maybe he takes Michael Taylor's spot in center field. Number four, J.D. Martinez's new team, the Boston Red Sox. Number five, the Cleveland Indians. Now, that's a team I thought should have tried to improve at third base, maybe sign a guy like Mike Moustakas. But if Jason Kipnis is going to hit and they're going to play him every day at second base, then maybe not. Maybe they don't need that player. Also depends a lot on Michael Brantley's health. I believe he's going to play this week, but we'll see. The Chicago Cubs, number six. We'll talk a little bit about them. They had another good day. Chris Bryant, his first home run of the spring, which is good because now they don't have to send him down to AAA to work on that. We can see that his power is coming back, so he'll be good to go. Dodgers, number seven. They don't include Justin Turner in this projected lineup, but obviously he'll be there. The Twins, number eight, that probably surprises a lot of people as well, just because they're a team that I think is probably under the radar. We'll have to check in with Brandon Warren over at Locked On Twins, see what he thinks about that sometime. And the St. Louis Cardinals at number nine. and then Oakland follows at number 10. So that's MLB.com's list. I would look at Oakland as belonging there, or at least being an underrated offense, probably from a national perspective. So let's end the show here looking around Major League Baseball. Some injuries, some relevant results for your fantasy teams. I have a fantasy draft coming up Saturday. I haven't put much research into it yet. We'll see. I got the number 4 pick, so if you've got any advice, let me know. Last year I took Paul Goldschmidt 4th overall. Humidor is going to scare me, so I don't know that I'm going to go there again. We'll see. Mike Trout's going to go number 1, and supposedly Jose Altuve isn't going number 2. He's going to go number 3, I guess, so we'll have to see who I've got left there. But let's start with Oakland, who, according to Susan Slusser, AJ Puk out with a bicep injury. They are going to shut him down. Puk was probably going to be up soon, if not right away. And I know that he's a guy that a lot of fantasy owners are targeting. So big hit for Oakland's pitching staff with Puk and Jarrell Cotton, who was shut down and underwent Tommy John surgery. That was reportedly successful, as they usually are. So that's a big hit for Oakland's pitching staff. Johan Camargo, Atlanta Braves utility guy, possibly regular third baseman this year in a transition year. He sounds like he's going to miss opening day, which opens the door for Rio Ruiz to get some time, Charlie Culberson to get some time. Preston Tucker drove in 2 more runs today. He's going to be your Ronald Acuna fill-in for now. But there's your Braves update for the day. Rio Ruiz looks like he'll likely get a shot now with Camargo's injury. We talked about the Cubs. Chris Bryant home run. Kyle Schwarber, skinny Kyle Schwarber, hit his 4th home run of the spring. Sounds like we don't have to be worried about his power. And it sounds like he's not going to be hitting leadoff this year. Mark Gonzalez, I saw Chicago Tribune, tweeted that Ian Happ will probably be that guy, and maybe Albert Almora when Albert Almora plays. Yu Darvish looked really good. You can see his funky delivery. You can read all about his sliders on your timeline that he threw to the Rangers today. I saw Bob Nightingale tweeted that that's his NL Cy Young pick, and as good as any. I don't think that that's all that outrageous if he pitches like he's capable of, an improved defense with the Cubs behind him. Not too bad. So the Cardinals, Paul DeJong home run, Marcell Ozuna home run. The Phillies got a home run from Scott Kingery, his 4th of the year. That's a guy the fantasy owners are going to want to keep an eye on as that prospect who, you know, if they can find room for him, will get the call. Let's see what else. Eric Hosmer, the guy that can't hit home runs and has no power, hit his 4th home run of the spring for the Padres. I'll try to keep the snarkiness down because it is spring training, and I'm going to say that spring training doesn't matter, but Hosmer, 4 home runs, not so bad. Blake Swihart, out of options in Boston, hit his 3rd home run. Sounds like, from what I'm reading, that they're going to find a way to keep him around. But I know Boston's got some tough decisions to make there. And then finally, not good news for Milwaukee. They lose Boone Logan to a shoulder or triceps injury today. Also lost Wade Miley to a groin injury. Wade Miley has an opt-out that he can he's on a minor league deal, so he can opt out, I think I saw tomorrow, and become a free agent again. Not good timing for the Brewers because they didn't sign Alex Cobb. They didn't really sign anybody to bolster that pitching staff in the way that I think their fans wanted. They did get better in the outfield, obviously, but I think if the pitching staff falters, they're going to catch a ton of heat for not doing more to address that. So I was looking at available options out there, and I think we need to start a John Lackey to Milwaukee movement, because if they're going to need somebody and there's not much out there, if John Lackey's in shape or wants to come back out, come to Milwaukee, not far from Chicago and a playoff contender. So maybe that'll check his boxes. We'll see. All right, so we're on iTunes now. You can follow us, or you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, Locked On MLB. You can find Locked On MLB on Twitter, LockedOnMLB.com. And you can find me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy, STOKKE. And, you know, I don't really know what we're going to talk about next time. So we'll figure it out tomorrow, see what happens the rest of the night injury-wise, maybe get some feedback in Milwaukee. And maybe I'll start prepping for my fantasy draft. So continue to follow the network. We're growing. We've got a lot of exciting things happening. I'm really proud and excited to see the content we're putting out there, and we hope to add more soon. So check us out on iTunes. Check us out on LockedOnMLB.com.